The makers of America's favorite whole wheat flakes, Wheaties Breakfast of Champions, invite you to Wheaties Big Parade, a thrilling procession of radio's greatest summer entertainment programs. Yours for the listening on NBC.
Dangerous Assignment, starring Brian Donlevy as Steve Mitchell.
Morning, Commissioner.
Well, what
uncivilized neck of the woods are you sending me to this time?
Paris, Steve.
Paris? Hey, I like that for a change. I could use a weekend in Paris.
Forget it. This is no vacation. Steve, 3 days from now, a secret meeting on atomic inspections will be held in Paris. Each country is sending a representative with a report of his country's industrial potential. Lists of factories capable of atomic production.
Well, what am I supposed to do? Go over there and count A-bombs?
One of the Balkan countries sent a courier named Zabo to bring their report to Paris. Our legation was asked to keep it in a safe place. And an American named Blake was sent to meet Zabo.
Did Zabo arrive in Paris?
Yes, he was seen getting off the plane carrying the officially sealed briefcase. He disappeared right after that. And Blake was killed.
Sounds like somebody was real eager to get their hands on that report. Must be hot.
That's the mystifying part, Steve. The Balkan country says there was nothing sensational about it.
Well, maybe there's something in it that's hotter than they realize.
It's a possibility, but the point is the disappearance of that report has stirred up enough suspicion to sabotage that meeting 3 days from now. That's why you've got to get over there. Find Zabo and the briefcase and turn the briefcase over to our representative who's waiting at the legation so he can take it to that meeting. You've got just 3 days to do it in. Well, that's it. You've got your assignment, Steve. Good luck.
Wheaties are America's favorite whole wheat flakes, and there's every good reason why they should be. They're made from wheat, of course. 100% whole wheat. So you can be sure that every single Wheaties flake in the orange and blue box you buy from your grocer contains all the good things you've come to expect from whole wheat. Vitamins, minerals, iron, and just plain whole wheat goodness. You can always be sure you'll never get shortchanged on nourishment when you look for it in a bowl of Wheaties. Of course, the beautiful thing about good nourishing Wheaties is that they taste just wonderful, too. For breakfast, or any old time at all, you can enjoy Wheaties plain, with milk or a little cream, or with your favorite fruit. In fact, Wheaties taste so good, some people just nibble them right out of the box. So if you have any use for a breakfast cereal that's wonderfully, wonderfully good to eat and good for you besides, by all means ask your grocer for Wheaties, America's favorite whole wheat flakes. And now here is Dangerous Assignment, starring Brian Donlevy as Steve Mitchell.
Yeah. That's what I like about my job. I've always got so much time to do things in. 3 whole days, and all I had to do was fly a few thousand miles to Paris, solve Blake's murder, find a gent named Zabo in a city of just a few million, then turn his briefcase over to our representative to that secret meeting. A real cinch. Well, Wednesday afternoon, I get to Paris. An hour later, I'm sitting in the office of Inspector Bravant of the French Sûreté.
Oh, Monsieur Mitchell, a very mystifying case. We have been unable to find any trace of Zabo's whereabouts.
You've got no leads at all?
We have but one lead, Mitchell. She's in our way here now.
She? Who is she?
A girl named Sari Tedescu. Ah, Mademoiselle Tedescu. Please, have a seat.
Thank you. I do not understand why you have brought me here, Inspector.
I wish to ask you about a man named Zabo.
Zabo?
Mm-hmm.
But I do not know any Zabo.
You were on the same plane from the Balkans. You were observed to be quite friendly with him during the flight.
I talked to several of the passengers, but I did not know their names.
I see. And you are quite certain you do not know this Zabo?
I have just told you I did not. Please, Inspector, I do not see one who I do.
Pardon me, quoi, mademoiselle, pardon me, quoi. That is all. You may go.
Very well, Inspector.
Bonjour, mademoiselle.
Good day.
Well, looks like you got a big hunk of nothing out of that, Bravant.
She is lying, Mitchell.
Hmm?
When we searched Blake's apartment after the murder, we found this snapshot of Blake, Zabo, and Zari Tedescu.
Oh. You know, I think I'll tag along after Sari, Inspector. I'll check with you later. I hurry outside and spot Sari on the sidewalk ahead of me. After about 15 minutes of fast walking, she ducks into a bar, La Petite Chienne. I wait a minute or two, and then I go inside, but Sari is nowhere in sight.
Oui, monsieur. What will it be?
Look, a girl just came in here a minute ago, bartender. What happened to her?
A girl? But many girls come in here, monsieur. Would you perhaps like me to introduce you to...
This one had long, dark hair. Her name is Sari Tedescu, and I know she came in here.
But, as you see, monsieur, there is no one answering that description here.
That's the point. Where is she?
But how would I know? I do not remember seeing this girl come in at all.
I see. Well, thanks a lot, Mac. What?
Monsieur, I am Anton. Perhaps you would like me to play a little tune just for you on my concertina.
No, thanks.
It would be pleasure.
Look, some other time.
You don't understand, monsieur. I specialize in playing tunes that people like to hear.
Oh? So what tune do you think I'd like to hear?
I overheard you asking about a girl named Sari.
What do you know about her?
A man in my position has ears and eyes open all the time in places such as this.
Hmm. Well, skip the hocus-pocus and let's have it.
But, monsieur, I make my living playing tunes people wish to hear.
I get it. Okay, here's $10.
$10 American?
$10 American. Does that buy me the tune?
But of course. Okay. Please to tuck the bill in my pocket.
Huh? Okay. Now, let's have it.
This girl, Sari, was in here.
Oh, great. Look, that I already know. Give me back my $10.
But wait, wait. I can't talk anymore now. I am supposed to be playing for customers. Meet me 10 minutes past midnight, nearest metro station.
Metro? What's that?
Metropolitan, the underground electric railway. I will be waiting for you on the ramp.
Okay, Anton. I'll see you then, and your tune better be good. I keep checking Sari's hotel all evening, but she's not in. It's a few minutes after midnight when I get to the subway station. I go down a long flight of metal stairs. I can hear a train approaching, but the ramp is dark and deserted, except for a little guy at one end. It's Anton. He starts towards me, and then, as we're getting close to each other, a hand suddenly shoots out of the darkness and grabs one of my ankles. I lose my balance. The train is almost on top of me. I start falling onto the tracks right in front of it. Brother, that was close.
Are you all right?
I sure wouldn't have been if you hadn't grabbed me, Anton.
The man who tripped you. There he goes, up the stairs.
Yeah, come on. I'm going to get him.
Watch out, he has a gun.
Get down. You okay, Anton?
Yes, but, monsieur, if you are in trouble, perhaps we better forget our arrangement.
Nothing doing. Now, look, what's this stuff you were going to tell me about Sari Tedescu?
Well, just that I have seen her in bar, always talking to same men. I heard Sari tell him that it was going to happen at 22 Rue Victoire Massé.
What was going to happen?
I don't know. That is all I heard. Oh.
22 Victor Massé? Okay. How do I get there? Wait, you better take me.
You paid me only for information. I am a very busy man.
Okay, here's $10 for you if you take me there.
Oh? You mean $10?
Yeah, $10 American.
Well, that is slightly different matter. Come on. We are 22 Rue Victor Massé. Monsieur Mitchell, door is unlocked.
Yeah. See if you can find the light switch, Anton.
Yes, he's here. Monsieur, look. Sitting in a chair?
Yeah. Well, he'll never get up out of that chair. That's a cinch. He's been strangled.
When somebody mentions the grand old game, you can be sure it's baseball he has in mind. And if he should talk about the breakfast of champions, well, that would be Wheaties with milk or a little cream and his favorite fruit on top. Actually, the two expressions have a lot more in common than you might suppose, because through the years, Wheaties and baseball have kept pretty close company. You see, the fact that Wheaties are 100% whole wheat flakes means they have a lot of nourishment to offer. And if there's anything an active major league ball player needs, it's nourishment and plenty of it. Of course, like anyone else, Champions like to get that nourishment in a food that's good tasting, too. Well, Wheaties just naturally are both good tasting and good for you. So you can understand the enthusiasm shown by Stan Musial, slugging outfielder of the St. Louis Cardinals. Stan says, "You can certainly put me down as a Wheaties man. They're swell for flavor, and at the same time, they hand out valuable nourishment." Well, if you're anything like I am, I'm sure you run into days when you burn up as much energy as you might if you went 9 innings with the Cardinals. And on days like that, the nourishment you get from crisp, tender, delicious Wheaties in the morning can certainly help a lot. What Wheaties can do for a baseball champion, they can certainly do for you. Try 'em. Wheaties, breakfast of champions.
Now, General Mills, makers of Wheaties, presents the second act of Dangerous Assignment, starring Brian Donlevy as Steve Mitchell.
He has been strangled? Goodbye.
Come back here, Anton.
Monsieur, I told you I did not want to get mixed up in anything.
Save it, will you?
But who is this man?
How should I know? Maybe there's something in his pocket that will give it to us. Yeah. Here's his identification card.
Zabel. This is man you have been looking for?
Yeah. But I found him too late. The killer probably has the briefcase by now.
Briefcase? What briefcase?
Oh, skip it. I wonder if there's anything else in his pocket that might help.
Here. I will raise him up and you can search his back pocket. Quite heavy.
Yeah. Hey, watch out.
I can't hold him.
Oh, great. Now look, pick him up and... Hey, wait a minute.
What?
Look, sticking out from under the seat cushion and back. It looks like a piece of leather. Here, let me get this cushion up. Well, what do you know? The briefcase.
But I don't understand. If this man Zabo was killed because of briefcase, why did not killer take it with?
Zabo must have been sitting right here in this chair when the killer walked in. He wouldn't tell where the briefcase was, so he got strangled, still sitting in the chair. Well, no wonder the killer couldn't find it if Zabo was roosting on it.
You know, monsieur, this must be a very valuable briefcase. Why we do not open and see what is in?
Look, get your hands off it.
But I was just curious.
Save your curiosity. You see those government seals on the flap of it? They're still unbroken, and that's just the way they're going to stay. Your part of the job is finished, Anton. You can shove off. Anton shrugs and leaves. I call Inspector Bravant and tell him I've found Sabo's body. Then, the next morning, I go to the American legation and look up our representative to the secret meeting. A guy named Robertson. And when Robertson spots the briefcase under my arm, his face lights up like a neon sign.
Mitchell, you've certainly done us a tremendous service finding this briefcase.
Well, I guess it's a good thing I didn't take any longer. That meeting is today, isn't it?
Tonight at 10 o'clock.
Excuse me, Mr. Robertson.
Yes, Miss Miller.
They just delivered your train ticket.
Good, thank you. Yes, Mitchell, this briefcase will help our cause tremendously. Its disappearance stirred up so much suspicion that the very purpose of the meeting was in jeopardy. But now, when I deliver this briefcase to the Balkan representative tonight at 10 with the seal still unbroken, I think it'll clear the atmosphere quite a bit.
Where's the meeting going to be?
Sorry, Mitchell, I'm afraid I can't tell you that. You see, we've had indications that someone is out to sabotage the meeting, so we're taking no chances. We've changed the location twice, and now only the 5 representatives know what that location is.
Well, that's probably the smart way to handle it. Anyway, doesn't matter to me where the meeting is. You've got the briefcase, and my job is finished.
Well, thanks again, Mitchell, and goodbye. I must leave at once for the meeting.
It's good to have my assignment completed. I'm patting myself on the back, telling myself how easy it's been, when the easy feelings becomes a little uneasy. Somehow, it's been too easy. Call it a hunch or what have you. I begin to wonder if maybe I've been played for a sucker. I try to duck the thought, but the feeling sticks. I've got a few hours before the plane time, so I decide to do a little more checking. I remember the bartender at La Petite Chienne, the guy who lied to me about Sari not being in there. Bar's pretty deserted when I get there. Anton is over in one corner playing sweet music for the benefit of a young couple at a table. He gives me a big wink and a grin, but I head for the bartender. I tell him I've got a message for him from Sari Tedescu. He blinks a couple of times, but finally takes me to a back room.
Now, where is this message?
Where's Sari?
What? But you said you brought a message from Earl.
You heard me. Where's Sari?
This is a trick.
Yeah, and it's going to work. Open up. Tell me where she is.
I will not break the knife. I will... Oh!
That's better.
Let go of me.
Here. Try this wall aside.
Oh! I will call for help.
I doubt it. I don't think you want anyone to know you're a friend of Sari.
No.
Now, look. You're going to keep bouncing off that wall until you tell me.
I will not tell.
This could go on all night.
Stop it.
Okay. Where is she?
Room 24, Hotel.
Thanks. You better get that wall fixed, Buster. Looks like we started a few cracks in the plaster. Sari.
Who is it?
A friend of yours.
What do you want?
I've got a message for you from the bartender at La Petite Chienne. Hello, Sari.
You are the one at the police station yesterday. You get your foot out of the door.
I'm coming in.
You get out of here. I will call the police.
Are you kidding?
What do you want?
A lot of answers. But mainly, they boil down to this. Why did you kill Blake and Szabo?
Szabo is dead.
You ought to know, sister.
Oh, Szabo. Poor Szabo, he was trying to help me.
Help you? Look, you better start talking. We know you were on the same plane as Szabo, but yesterday at the police station, you denied knowing him. Why?
Szabo was trying to get me out of the country illegally. He got me a forged passport, and he brought me to Paris with him.
Wait a minute. You're not hooked up in this briefcase deal at all?
Oh, no, no. When the plane landed, a little man met Szabo. He said he had come for the briefcase. The two of them went away together. But when Szabo did not return to the hotel, I became worried. And then when the police brought me in, I thought they had found out about my forged passport. So I denied knowing Szabo. I did not want to get him into any trouble.
And you've been in hiding ever since, huh?
Yes.
Well, look, how does that bartender at La Petite Chienne tie in?
Szabo had told me to go there if there was any trouble.
Oh.
That the bartender would tell me of a place where I could wait safely for the next stage of my journey. I guess that bar is a contact point for those with forged passports.
And the bartender sent you here. I still don't see why you ducked out of that bar, though, in such a hurry.
Because as I was talking to the bartender, I suddenly saw the little man who had met Szabo at the place.
What? This guy was in the bar?
Yes, he was.
You expecting anyone?
No.
Okay, I'm going to get over here behind the door.
Oh.
Now, go ahead and open it.
All right.
So we meet again, mademoiselle. No. Do not try to slam door in my face. That's rude.
I...
Thank you. I have been trying unsuccessfully to locate you ever since you saw me leave airport with Szabo. But a man named Mitchell helped me. He softened up a bartender to point where I could find out your address. Don't you think this gun earns me invitation to come in?
Yeah, come on in, Adam.
Mitchell!
Yeah, you pull that trigger now and you'll blow your own foot off. Get that hand off my throat. Drop the gun or I'll break your arm.
Very well, I drop it.
Do not need gun. Constantina player developed strong hands, strong enough to strangle you.
Yeah, just like you did Szabo, huh? I don't think Constantina players know much about judo. Take a ride, Anton.
His gun is right at your feet.
Yeah, I've got it.
Watch out, he has a tail.
Now we see who gets gun.
Easy, Anton.
Knocked him off balance.
Yeah, here's another.
Oh, the window. I cannot stop him now. There he is, in the middle of the courtyard.
Yeah, I see him.
You still have not won, Mitchell. You have lost.
Look, Anton, you wanted me to find Szabo's body. You led me right to it. You even lifted him up so I'd be sure to spot the briefcase.
Of course. When briefcase is opened, that secret meeting will be over.
I'm the prize chump of all time. You planted a bomb in that briefcase and got me to deliver it for you.
Yes.
Oh, well. So long, Sari. I've got to find that guy Robertson in one big hurry.
Yes?
They gave me your address at the legation. You're Mr. Robertson's secretary, aren't you?
Why, yes, Miss Miller.
You're Steve Mitchell, the man who brought the briefcase to Mr. Robertson.
Yeah, that's why I've got to find him right away. Where'd he go? Where's the meeting going to be?
I'm sorry, Mr. Mitchell. I couldn't tell you even if I knew.
Look, this is no time to be coy. There's a bomb in that briefcase.
What?
And it'll explode the second the briefcase is opened. Now, where's your boss, Robertson?
His tickets were for Bordeaux.
When does the train do to pull out?
At 6, I think.
Oh, it's 5 minutes after now. Look, get your car. We'll try and overtake the train at the first stop.
There's the train, Steve. We made it.
Come on. Which compartment is Robertson in?
His reservation was for compartment 5.
Here we are. Let me give you a hand.
Thanks. Come on down the corridor.
Here it is. Compartment 5. Mr. Robertson, I... Hey, the compartment's empty.
Empty, but...
You're sure this is the right compartment?
Of course. I got the reservation myself.
What is it, monsieur?
Conductor, where's Mr. Robertson?
Robertson?
The guy who had this compartment.
Why, she did not stay on the train.
What?
No, it was very strange. He got aboard on one side, then he got off on the other. It took a taxi, I believe.
Oh, great. Then the meeting's in Paris after all.
Steve, what'll we do?
It's 6:30. 3.5 hours to locate that meeting, and all we know is that it's somewhere in Paris.
Oh, that taxi driver.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Come on, let's get back to town. You try and trace the cab, and I'll see what I can find out.
Why, no, Mitchell. None of us here at the Sûreté know where that meeting is to be held.
Haven't you any idea at all, Inspector?
Paris is a large city, Mitchell. I am sorry.
You're sorry. Look, Commissioner, I've got to find that meeting. Do you know where it's to be?
No, Steve. Why? Something wrong?
You bet there's something wrong. There's a bomb on its way to that meeting.
A bomb? How do you know?
I sent it.
What? Now, Steve.
It's no joke, Commissioner. And if I don't locate it in the next 3 hours, there won't be any meeting.
Steve, the taxi company says whoever picked up Mr. Robertson was on a day shift, and all those drivers are home by now.
But there isn't time to telephone all of them and... Wait. The radio.
What?
The Paris radio station. Come on.
No, 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 no. We cannot interrupt our programs just to broadcast.
Look, unless you do, there's going to be an explosion in Paris at 10 o'clock.
It'll
probably blow up a city block.
An explosion?
You heard me. Now get on the air and tell any cab driver who picked up a man with a briefcase at the depot at 6 to call in here right away.
Very well, monsieur. I will broadcast it immediately.
This any longer. It's 9 o'clock in 1 hour.
Yeah, all right. You got any ideas?
Maybe we ought to broadcast a warning to the people of Paris.
Tell them that there'll be an explosion somewhere in Paris in an hour, but we don't know where. Oh, you put an announcement like that on the air and you'll start the biggest stampede in history.
Monsieur, monsieur.
Yeah.
The cab driver's just called in. He remembers picking up a man with a briefcase at the depot.
Where'd he take him?
Here is the address.
Thanks. Stay here, Marjorie. I'll see you later.
What do you want?
Look, a taxi driver told me that he picked up a man with a briefcase and brought him here.
What about it?
Where is he?
I am the man.
What?
Now, see, is a man to be allowed no privacy in this city? I got...
Oh, fine, fine. I'm sorry to bother you.
I'm glad you called in, Steve.
Look... That was the original wild goose chase.
I know. Another cab driver just called in. The man he picked up answers Mr. Robertson's description.
Where'd he take him?
He let him off in front of the Louvois Hotel. You've got just 15 minutes before that meeting starts, Stephen. It'll take you 12 of them to get there.
So, I break every traffic law in town and pull up at the hotel at 9:56. The elevator operator thinks he remembers taking a guy with a briefcase up to the fourth floor. I get up there with 3 minutes to go and start walking down the hall. Then I spot a guy lounging at the end. And I've got a hunch I'm getting warm. He's probably a guard. I stop for a second in front of each door, but he doesn't react. Then I stop in front of the fifth door down. Suddenly he's on me like a blanket.
What do you want?
Look, I've got to get into that meeting.
No one goes in that door. No one is going to...
Sorry, I've got no time to argue. I gave the guard a fast frisk and got the key. I opened the door. It was a large suite, but in one of the rooms, I spot 5 men sitting around a table. One of them is Robertson.
The first order of business is this briefcase I'm turning over to the Balkan representative. I would like him to open it at once. I think it will clear the air considerably so that we can...
Wait, don't open that briefcase.
Mitchell, what are you doing?
Don't open that briefcase. You, I'm talking to you.
But that is the Balkan representative. He has every right to open it.
Take your hands off it.
Mitchell!
Mitchell, are you crazy? You're trying to start a war?
There might have been one if I hadn't hit him. There's a bomb in that briefcase.
What? Do you know what you're saying?
You bet I know what I'm saying. Another second and you'd all have been blown sky high. Oh, brother, I didn't think I was going to make it here. Here, I'll take that briefcase now.
Wait, where are you going?
First, I'm
going
to turn this briefcase over to the surety, unopened, and let them worry about it from there. And second, well, I'm going to find me a good spot to have a nice, quiet, nervous breakdown. So long, Mr. Robertson.
You've just heard another episode of Dangerous Assignment, starring Brian Donlevy in the role of Steve Mitchell. We're glad to welcome Dangerous Assignment as one of Wheaties' big parade of radio shows. Now, if Mr. Donlevy will step out of the role of Steve Mitchell, we'd like to welcome him to the Wheaties family of salesmen.
Thank you, Terry O'Sullivan. I am very proud to accept what I consider to be one of my most important assignments. For tonight, I'm joining the more than 700 salesmen of General Mills whose worthwhile job it is to bring good food to the American table. Yes, I'm a Wheaties man tonight. I'm particularly happy that I am after reading a very startling article in the May issue of Reader's Digest. It's an article I think all of us should read. It's called, What Do You Eat for Breakfast? And believe me, it certainly reminded me of how important a good, nourishing breakfast is to every man, woman, and child in this great nation of ours. The fact that I am joining you salesmen and the hundreds of thousands of grocers who meet the American homemaker across the country every day gives me a real thrill. All of us know that by selling Wheaties, the breakfast of champions, we're doing our part in helping more families to eat good, substantial breakfasts regularly. That's a job worth doing. Ladies and gentlemen, turn to page 73 of the May Reader's Digest and see if after reading this article, a breakfast including Wheaties with plenty of milk and fruit doesn't sound like a good idea to you.
Dangerous Assignment, written by Bob Reif, with music by Basil Adlam, is directed by Bill Carnes. Be with us next week at this time when Brian Donlevy, starring as Steve Mitchell, will embark on another Dangerous Assignment. And on Monday, listen to Frank Lovejoy in Nightbeat on the Wheaties Big Parade. For all the family, try Father Knows Best tomorrow on NBC.